Hi, everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Live with your host, Seth, and myself, Ben. So we're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or either won't report on, and then we share what we find with all of you. Plus, we try to do a lot of joking around in the process, and there's certainly a lot to joke about today with Ukraine planning to join NATO. Now, it doesn't sound like it, but did you know that NATO's Article 5 says that an attack against one ally is an attack against all allies? And Biden pretty much made that clear in his speech today. So where does that leave us? With the news stoking fears about World War III, overall confusion over Putin, central bank digital currencies getting rolled out in different countries, and all the disasters happening, you might be wondering, well, how do we find hope?
Well, that's where we come in. So on this Friday Night Live, we're going to be discussing the deeper plan behind world events that most people just aren't focusing on. Then we're going to get even more philosophical and spiritual on Rise.TV with our Dig Deep Q&A segment, where you can ask us really whatever you want. And finally, you won't want to miss our top 10 weirder news of the week to keep you laughing in these unprecedented times. If you don't crack up about K-pop criminalization or mosquito vaccines or think the near-death experience we found is mind-blowing, then we haven't done our jobs. So let's get started with this Friday Night Live. All right.
Hey, guys.
It's good to see you, Ben.
You too, Seth. So
Rob's not going to be here, right?
Yeah, he can't be here today. He's fighting the evil forces.
I was going to say he got arrested for something, but I guess fighting evil forces is a good one. Well, so actually, you know what? Like those two things could correlate quite well, because a lot of times you get arrested for fighting the evil because the evil is the people that control the police. So,
oh my gosh. There we go. There's so much that we could go on with that. Like so many things, weirder news that I was like, I don't even know where to put all of this. Like there was a bombing in a pro-life place that, you know, it was like some place that was like pro-life. There was a bombing there. The FBI wanted the evidence and then they didn't make any arrests and the guy can't get it back to find out who actually did it. And their excuse is that, oh, we don't want to cause any extremism by releasing this.
Oh, of course. And it's of course.
What the heck?
So Ben, let's start with our highlights of the week. And I want to hear your highlight. I mean, is your home still standing?
It is. Dude, I can't. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Well, somewhat, you know, I don't know. I had a pretty good feeling leaving. But yeah, because I'm right in the Fort Myers, Cape Coral area. And when Rob and I did our show yesterday, you know, I was just talking, Fort Myers Beach, there's a photo of Rob and I he was just there recently and we were on the beach, you know, and that's where the photo was taken. And it's just insane seeing these photos. But my neighbor stayed and, you know, I've been talking to him the last 3 days nonstop. And, yeah, there was some flooding in our area, but it didn't go to the homes. And he said my home was okay. And I think most of the homes in the area that I was in was okay. And there we are at Fort Myers Beach. And that pier behind us is no longer there. That's the pier that those crazy guys were like swimming in during the hurricane. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're an idiots. But anyway, I think like, you know, this was all pretty shocking. I've been communicating with so many people in the area on the last 2 days and, you know, everyone, I think like everyone's really coming together and just really trying to help whatever they can, you know, and, like any store that can open up is trying to open up even without power. But this just shows how much the digital currency is a total flop in emergency situations because there's no power, right? And so some people weren't prepared to have cash. So these stores are trying to open, but some people don't even have cash. It's like, I have a credit card and then they can't go to the bank because all the banks are shut down because, you know, there's no power. And so one guy was saying that when he opened his store, he was taking down everyone's name and information. So when they did start up, like, you know, they could come back or he can find them or everything and they can give them money then for this, you know, but that's something crazy. But yeah, I think, I mean, DeSantis was there earlier and he was talking. So, you know, I think for me, it was kind of, you know, I got out, you know, went to Miami for a while. And I think that, you know, all of this has been just pretty surreal, I would say. You know, it's like so strange because I feel bad. I feel like I need to be there to help out because it's like, oh my gosh, this is kind of my community. And I feel kind of weird for not being there. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't have any power right now or water, but that's what they're focusing on right now is trying to get power and water running. Once they have that, it will be easier for people to kind of go home and then kind of help out with whatever they can. But I guess a lot of people in the community are helping. They are finding some dead bodies, but at the same time, they're also rescuing people and having these amazing stories of these rescue missions and stuff and people finding animals and people and all kinds of things. But there's a couple of people I know who lost their homes, but majority of the people that I know, everyone seems safe and all their homes seem to be okay. There's just so far one person I know that lost their home, but it's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. Before I dive into my highlight, which is very different than yours, I'll comment just on what you said. I also want to thank DJ, is it DJ Godzilla? Is that who it is? DJ Gordzilla for the donation of $50. Also, Millsy17, thank you so much for that donation of $100. DJ Gordzilla again of $20. So DJ Gordzilla, send me your album. I want to hear your mixes. So
that's hilarious.
You know, hopefully you're there for that. So, you know, just to comment, it's interesting, Ben, to look at what just happened in Florida. And this is why I'm so big on prepping, right? You know, like I've got two generators and I'm in the process of buying a third generator, right? So I'm buying a generator that can run off my tractor because I've got a bunch of diesel fuel stored up. And like, it's like, cause this stuff happens. Now in Ohio, thankfully, like one of my highlights is that there is no hurricane in Ohio. It's one of the reasons why I like Ohio. But, you know, again, it's like, there are, but I'm in a more hilly area, and you know, typically the tornadoes tend to be in the more flat areas, like where I grew up out in the country of west of Columbus. So, but if you look at what they're doing in Florida, you say like they're securing water and power, right? And that's really it. Now, if it's the winter, you have to figure out heat. That's another big one as well. But sure. You know, like water and power, like that's critical. So, you know, for those of you that are watching, think about like what would happen if you lost water and power, right? You know, do you have a generator? Do you have solar or any of these things? Because, you know, like I know you guys covered the hurricane stuff and the pipeline on your Thursday show. And, you know, I've interviewed, you know, before recently, I interviewed Dane Wigington about the weather manipulation, where he was showing literally showing like a radar map and showing how they're controlling the path of these hurricanes. And I mean, to me, it's really kind of like, is it a coincidence that this significant hurricane hit, you know, Florida? Of course Florida is prone to hurricanes, but like one of this scale. And also, like, you know, from what I understood, it kind of changed paths in a way that was unusual and caused even more damage because people that weren't expecting it to hit them, it came to them all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, it was zigzagging. That's why, because I was watching it the whole time, you know, and I stopped watching the media and I'm watching it on the phone and it's like, it's literally zigzagging. And they were like, oh, it's going to hit. First they did target our area that we were in when it was hitting like Cuba, but then it was like changed to Tampa and everyone's like, oh, it'll go to Tampa. Then it kept going back down and then it kept changing where it was going to hit. But then when you're watching the thing, it was like zigzagging. And then as soon as it hit, it just stayed there. It didn't,
exactly.
It wasn't moving. And like, I'm talking to my neighbor as this is going on. And he's like, dude, this thing is like, it's just staying here. I mean, this is, it was like 8 hours straight.
And Lindsay, I'm going to see if I can pull up that video really quick to send to you. If you can maybe search for it, it's in YouTube. Just search for geoengineering, engineering watch, and search for like the hurricane. Because there's this video, and I know we played it a little while ago, mm-hmm. but there's this crazy video of this. It's like this: the path of the hurricane is literally being directed by these magnetic pulses, or that they're using radar. Do you remember watching that video, Ben? It was crazy because you could. So it. They. We have to find it, and maybe maybe Lindsay, if you're able to find it, it was on Geoengineering Watch's their YouTube channel.
And you know, I to kind of piggyback off this without sounding weird, one of the things that Robin and I went over yesterday in our video was cloud seeding and how it really is real. And they actually, like, I'm talking about like the Navy, and scientific articles are now coming out talking about weather manipulation is no longer like a conspiracy theory, but what they're saying is the cloud seeding, which is sodium oxide. Damn it. I can't think of the name right now at the top of my head, but essentially that's what chemtrails.
Oh, this is it. So Ben, I forget which hurricane this was, but you see those little dots spread out across the nation.
Yeah.
So what they did is this, Dane Wigington, they captured this where they have the access to this kind of technology.
Well, so, this is Hurricane Ian right here.
This isn't Ian. No, this is a different one.
Are you sure? I thought it was. Okay.
Unless he just showed this recently. I'm not sure. Okay. You're right.
That was the path of Ian. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's Ian. Look how big the eye of the storm is.
This was about 20 hours ago.
Yeah. Okay.
This one he just put up.
So,
if you look at, and it was visible actually in the very beginning. So I'm not sure what he's caught with this one. But Lindsay, if you go back to the very beginning, I just want you to watch this really quickly. So see those little pulses right there?
Mm-hmm.
Those are like their radar. And so those are what they use to control the direction of these storms. Because these storms, the thing about cloud seeding, it puts all of this metal and many other particles, it puts this metal into the clouds. And so think about it. If you have a cloud that has a bunch of metal in it, you could use magnetism. You could use electronic, radiation to control the path of that metal, right? And so this is one of the ways they do it. So the previous part of that video where it showed all those little flickering, it was actually they on a previous hurricane, they captured this data showing this, all these radars going off and actually controlling the path. But he was saying that like they can use it to just stop a hurricane. Like they can have a hurricane come up and they can make this hurricane just pause on a certain region. And I'm not sure what he's saying, what he's actually saying in this video, because this is a video he just put up about Hurricane Ian. But I think that what he's showing is that at the center of that, there's some sort of transmitter, right? That there's a certain transmitter that's actually doing that.
Silver iodine. Iodide. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what someone was saying in the chat. And I was like, I couldn't remember. I knew it starts with an I. You know what's really weird? And I didn't even think about this until after our show, after we started talking about it and people were texting me. I was on Fort Myers Beach around the weekend of September 24th. So it was last weekend. And I saw a plane, and I haven't seen that many chemtrails recently, especially in Florida. And I saw this plane, and it was one of the weirdest chemtrails I've ever seen, because the plane was pretty low and it was like, it would like launch the trails, but they were bigger than normal chemtrails. They were wider and they were kind of spreading out a little bit. And then it would kind of like go forward a little bit and do it again. And then it just kind of was doing that. And I was like, what the heck is this? This is so strange, you know? So I then was just, didn't really think too much about it, but then it's like, man, it's kind of weird. And it wasn't a normal plane either. It was like a, like a jet, you know, something, some kind of like more like military like, and I wish I would have gotten photos of it, but I just didn't really, you know, it's just like, oh, there it is again, you know, kind of thing, rather than like now looking back on it, it's like, whoa, that's kind of weird, because this is right where the hurricane.
We notice this all the time up here in Ohio. My wife and I will be outside, and you can always, there's like a pattern, and we've seen it more this year than ever before, where there's really intense cloud seeding and chemtrails, and it changes, and there's always a really bad storm like 1 or 2 days later. Whoa. It's like the insane, it'll be like a crazy day of chemtrails, and it's always followed by like a really intense and violent storm, which is crazy. But anyway, so I guess I'll quickly share my personal highlight of the week, and then we can dig into Ukraine and Russia and all this stuff. But actually, so my daughter June turned 2 years old this week, and her birthday was September 27th. And so I actually baked her a cake. I've never really baked a cake before, but I just like looked up some recipes online. Actually, Lindsay, I'm not sure if this is too last minute, but I put a picture of her up on Telegram, if you can pull that up. If not, it's okay.
I'm already working on it.
Oh, so anyway, yeah. So I baked her this little cake. It's a vanilla buttercream cake, you know, with like a really nice buttercream icing. And I decorated it. I made it pink with like polka dots, and you know, like wrote June on it with like a number two. And it was just incredible. Again, it was just this beautiful moment. And the crazy thing is, and it's just like, I don't know where she gets this from, but she like, we put the cake in front of her with the candles, and she was just like, and she blew out all the candles. It's like, where's that come from? Yeah, there you go. There she is.
And she's definitely all excited.
Yeah. So that was my highlight. I mean, I guess while Ben's like dodging hurricanes, I'm up here eating, stuffing my face with homemade cake, but it was just really nice. So I see someone's asking what kind of cake it was, and it was just a vanilla buttercream, like really, really super simple ingredients, just flour and sugar and
nice
butter, and then it is a few other things, and then buttercream icing, which is mostly just butter, a little bit of milk and powdered sugar, and some vanilla frost or some vanilla flavoring. So anyway, it was nice. And yeah, patty cakes. I decorated it. I got a little icing, you know, the little baggies with the icing and all that. So that was lovely. It was a really nice. It was a really nice opportunity. Cool. I wish I had like five kids. it's so lovely. It's just so nice. So, but anyway, so Ben, we're going to be digging into the Ukraine, NATO, Russia, but how about we first, let's hit our first trailer, and then we'll be diving into the big discussion about like what's really happening with Russia and Ukraine.
Yep.
The bloodline is extremely important in this.
An active Freemason whistleblower.
I was ultimately approved to join.
Reveals his story for the first time.
So I got into it by reading about it, and then I petitioned to join a lodge in the area.
Discover things you never knew.
Here's the mind-blowing thing. There's a book in this library by John Dewey.
Insider knowledge never before divulged.
But he literally told me, he said, in a Wall Street firm.
One of the 13 bloodlines, up close and personal.
This is going to sound like I'm making it up, but I really did feel something I never experienced on meeting another person on this earth.
So for those of us watching on Rumble, you can find that whole series on our edgeofwonder.tv channel, where Rob and I, for Edge of Wonder, have multiple series that we've done over the years from just about everything you can think of. But that was our Freemason insider that we interviewed, and it was a pretty explosive interview, actually. So some good stuff.
Yeah, very, very good. So, Ben, let's go ahead and dive in. I first want to talk about Putin's speech today. And I saved a few highlights. I think you also had some highlights there as well. I just want to read a couple things that stood out to, you know, from his speech. So, and this is just from a translation that someone made who's a professional translator. But he said, quote, he's talking about the West. He said, they invented genders and claim you can transition. Do you want this for our children? We have a different vision. they have abandoned religion and embraced Satanism. Crazy quote coming from a world leader. And he also said, there's no going back. We are fighting for our great historic Russia. Our values are love of our fellow man, compassion, and mercy. Truth is with us. Russia is with us. So, Ben, you also had a few things you wanted to share as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy because he really is talking directly about the ruling elite. I mean, he says in his speech, the ruling, I mean, and Lindsay, I have that link. Basically, this is it's all a transcript, but he says the ruling elites voluntarily agree to become vassals. Others are bribed or intimidated. And if this does not work, they destroy entire states, leaving behind humanitarian disasters, devastation, ruins, millions of wrecked and mangled lives. And it just goes on from there, what he's talking about. But Seth, even on the quote that you have, where he's talking about Satanism, I think he's mentioned it more than once, because later in this, he says this complete unification of what it means to be human, the overthrow of faith and traditional values, and the suppression of freedom are coming to resemble a religion in reverse, pure Satanism, exposing false messiahs. Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits ye shall know them.
it's crazy.
It actually is.
And it, you know, I'm really of two minds, and I was really looking forward to this discussion with you, because there's two sides of the story that I see, right? Well, there's three sides, okay? There is the story of the mainstream narrative, mm-hmm. right? And the mainstream narrative is coming out of you know, the politicians, and coming from the mainstream media, it's academia, et cetera, Hollywood. You know, that narrative is really Putin's a bully, Putin's a global terrorist. You know, they're not really going into detail about communism, but it's really just about demonizing Putin in the same way that, you know, Trump was demonized, right? So sure. That's one narrative. Then you also have the narrative of what I would say more of like the far right echo chamber, right? And I'm going to say echo chamber, just people that are much more kind of on the far right that are saying that, you know, Putin, the people that are much more kind of red pilled, if you want to use that term, that are saying that, you know, Putin is fighting the deep state, that Putin is really in a lot of ways a hero. Like they're really idolizing Putin. And with speeches like this, like I can certainly understand that, you know, like I know through my own research has led me to believe that there are a lot of satanic people in very high power, you know, high places of power that are ruling our world. Right. I'm interviewing Kathy O'Brien next week. Right. She of all people know that there is an elite class of people that do all kinds of terrible things, you know, human trafficking, human sacrifice, child sex trafficking, like the list just goes on and on and on, adrenochrome, et cetera. So we know that that is to be real. We know that that's correct. And so it's easy to then fall into the kind of the perspective of like, okay, great. Like, well, Putin he's taking down the deep state, right? He's fighting against the cabal, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's this third narrative. You know, so I've had guests on my show like Jeff Nyquist or Trevor Loudon.
Mm-hmm.
And so this narrative is actually, there's four narratives. I'll get to the last one actually. So the third narrative is from people like Jeff Nyquist or Trevor Loudon, both people that like I have huge respect for. These people have studied communism for decades. Like they really understand communism. And this narrative is really that, look, the Soviet Union never really fell like they wanted us to believe. It was a feigned collapse, and that China and Russia have had a long-term plan to implement their own global control system. like they've had a long-term plan that they called, you know, it was called One Clenched Fist. It's called the Sino-Soviet Pact. You know, so these are people that, you know, it's not the mainstream media, right? They understand communism through defectors, like through making it their life's work to understand communism and the goals of communism. And what they're saying is that China and Russia are basically teaming up together to implement the end game of their final attack on the West, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, that also makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because and what also makes it hard for me to understand too is it's like, well, Putin is talking about what the Western leaders have done, okay? He's calling out the Western elite for their pillaging, how they treated the people, okay?
He is.
And it's like, okay, I agree with you.
You're right.
But at the same time, who is his number one ally? It's the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah. And this is where my mind is like, something doesn't equate. Because now people come out and say, well, Xi Jinping is a white hat. He's fighting against communism. And look, like I've studied communism, you know, relatively extensively. And I know a lot of people, as you do too, Ben, that know the inside workings of communism, that have escaped communism. Nothing I've ever come to has really shown me that like Xi Jinping is fighting for freedom.
Definitely.
You know, like we under Xi Jinping, that the persecution of Falun Gong is still going on like full bore. There's massive organ harvesting. There are millions of Uyghurs in concentration camps. The digital surveillance state that has emerged under Xi Jinping,
yeah.
is insane. And so it's like, okay, wait. I give Putin kudos for talking and calling out the Western elites, but at the same time, he's teaming up with Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party, and North Korea, right? And it's like, we know what North Korea is like, so I can't equate that. So, but then, and sorry, Ben, I'm a little bit of a rant here because I'm kind of framing my kind of where I'm at because I really want to hear your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth perspective is you have people like Fritz Springmeier, okay. Which, you know, most of the audience here knows who Fritz Springmeier is, but if you don't, he's one of the most well-researched people when it comes to the Illuminati, the New World Order, the 13 Bloodlines. I mean, he wrote the book on the Bloodlines, like literally wrote the book.
The 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati.
Exactly. Like I've got it's like a multi-volume set, right? I've got upstairs in the library.
Yeah.
And his perspective, and there you go, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier. His perspective is that there are basically warring factions and that Putin and that Russia and China are basically, they're just kind of playing into destroying the world to get it ready for the one world government.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what's happening, it's like, well, that's actually what's kind of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that they're doing, like in the energy crisis in Europe, the food crisis around the world, all of these actions, whether intentional or unintentional, are laying the road, like laying the perfect path for the Great Reset, the collapse of currencies, everything about the Great Reset.
Yeah.
And then, so you have Fritz Springmeier, who's, I would say, is one of the most well-researched, but then you also have Leo Zagami. So Leo Zagami, he's also another person I view as Fritz Springmeier. He's literally an ex-Illuminati. He was very high up in the Illuminati and how he lives in California. He's like a big Trump fan. He's got like a Make America Great hat on, a MAGA hat. And he is now a whistleblower about the Illuminati, but like I listened to some interviews with him recently, and this guy really knows his stuff. Like yeah. I rarely come across people like him where I'm like, I listened to an interview he did with Mike Adams. I was like, man, this guy, it was almost like listening to Fritz Springmeier. It's like, this guy gets it. He understands communism. He understands globalism. He understands how it all fits together. So what he's saying is he's saying the exact same thing that Fritz Springmeier is saying. Is he's saying, look, yes, there is a new world order. There are elites. They're evil. They're satanic. But China and Russia, and actually, Lindsay, if you want to pull up this article, and actually I'm interviewing him, which for you guys on Rise, we love this, but I'm interviewing him on Thursday this coming week to talk to him specifically about this. So what he's saying is that basically China and Russia are what he calls the rise of the Sino-Russian New World Order. And so what he's saying is that while, yes, we look at China and Russia and then they're fighting against the Western deep state, but that their goal is to implement their version of the New World Order, which in a lot of ways, like, that fits in with what Jeff Nyquist is saying, what Trevor Loudon is, like, all the, it's like the experts that I'm following, like the real experts, like Leo Zagami, Fritz Brinkmeyer, Jeff Nyquist, you know, the list goes on. They're kind of aligning on the same goal, saying that fundamentally China and Russia are poised to bring in their own version of the New World Order. And like what Leo Zagami refers to it as is cyber Satan. Basically that, you know, the West and the Western elites are trying to build what he calls cyber Satan, which is the digital surveillance state where they use algorithms and AI and ultimately like a satanic AI to control humanity. And he's saying that China and Russia are laying the foundation for cyber Satan, except it's one that they're going to be in control over. And if you look at China right now, it's like, yeah, China is run by cyber Satan, right? Like that's true. The surveillance state, like it's evil. It's satanic. So anyway, I apologize for such a long monologue, but I really like, there's so many conflicting views of this and I just don't know where to land with it. And so I really want to hear your thoughts.
And I think like, okay, so kind of going back to what happened today, you know, with the Article 5 that everyone is talking about. And the reason why this is so important is because what Article 5 states is that collective defense. So the definition of Article 5 is a collective defense means an attack against one ally is considered an attack against all allies. This is what Biden said word for word today. And he was like basically saying we're prepared to go to war, you know, and then it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That could be World War III. That's why everyone, World War III and Article 5 were both trending today on Twitter. Because if Ukraine is trying to join NATO, if they join NATO, what could potentially happen then? Now they're considered an ally and, you know, NATO will go up to bat against or for Ukraine against Russia. What makes this so damn complicated is that Putin knows that Zelensky is just this stupid pawn that was just thrown in there by the cabal themselves. And that, you know, all this money that's going to Ukraine is probably just blackmail or bribe money. So somebody wouldn't talk about really what's going on with the Bidens, considering there's all this, you know, back deals going on with all of this. Putin knows everything that is going on. He knows everything that's going on with the deep state. He knows their plans. He knows what they're trying to do. So here he is then just saying like, well, forget everybody in the world. I'm just going to focus on Russia. And here's for my people. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to protect Russia and I'm going to fight for you. And we're going to keep all the satanic forces away. And then it's like, well, yeah, okay. That starts to make sense because everything that's happening in the world and he understands. But from another perspective, yeah, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, it's like, well, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be so quick. I think that they, you know, what? Okay, my mom was asking me earlier, what is the goal of all of this? Like, what's the purpose of all of this going on, including like what's happening with the pipeline? And, you know, this getting destroyed is a huge factor and everyone's pointing fingers at everybody else, even though the CIA told Germany that this could potentially happen 2 weeks ago. Then I was like, you know, is this another Pearl Harbor that they allow this to happen? And then no one knows really who did it. No one's taking responsibility for it, but this is going to have a major, major, major impact on all of Europe coming in a couple months if this thing doesn't get resolved. So you have all of these factors and then you have like, what's the ultimate goal? Well, I think the ultimate goal for the cabal is forming their one world order. And they don't care how they do it. They don't care who they're using or what tools or methods or anything. It's like their ultimate goal is to form this because in their opinion, it's like, hey, look, instead of all of these countries fighting against each other, wouldn't it be awesome if every country on Earth joined NATO and then we could form this one world government and then all these wars would be over. There would be no more fighting, you know, and it sounds like very harmonious on the surface. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll all come together. But it's
imagine
like
imagine all the people, yeah. Right?
Like, you know, like great and peaceful and everything else. But then then it's like you get the World Economic Forum saying like, oh yeah, well, by the way, we're going to eliminate all cash and we're going to make a one centralized currency. And then it's like, you know, then the surveillance is going to be like 10 times worse than China. It's like everyone needs to be registered. We're going to monitor every single thing that you're doing. If you even have any sign that you're against this, you know, those people are going to become public enemy number one, because it's like we're no longer fighting wars with other countries. We're now fighting the wars internally with the people who are not supporting this, because those are the people that are more dangerous. And I feel like this is what's being used. And so coming back to Russia and China, like someone in the chat said, she is a red hat. And I'm like, that's a perfect way of saying this. It really is. It's like, I think with Xi Jinping and Russia, they definitely wouldn't want to be a part of NATO, right? So they're a threat to what NATO stands for if they're trying to form their one world government. But then again, Putin is not like a good guy. He's not going to say like, oh, let me take over NATO and give it back to the world, you know? It's like, that's also not going to happen. And then you have China that just wants to control everything. So it's like, you know, I think I said it on one of the shows. It's like, you know, who it's like looking at Putin, China, and the World Economic Forum and the global cabal. It's like, it's just like Voldemort, the Emperor Palpatine, and like Darth Vader all fighting each other.
Then so something you said really got me thinking, and I feel like that we like to oversimplify things, mm-hmm. right? It's especially in America, it's the Western way, right? There's the good guy, there's the bad guy. The good guy walks in, there's like the heroic music. The bad guy walks in, there's dark shadows and dun 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 as the bad guy walks in. Like, it doesn't work like that in real life, right? Yeah.
Doesn't
actually. And you know, here's one way to think about it, because it's so easy. Let's use the pyramid as an analogy, right? Like, you have your pyramid, and people can screenshot this and say, I'm Illuminati. Go ahead, right? It's like, of course, right? It's like, oh, look at Seth, he's showing up pyramid signs, right?
Yes,
right? Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Be careful. Someone's going to screenshot it, and you're going to be done, Ben.
That's it.
So we have this pyramid of control. And I think that a lot of people, they like to think that at the top of that pyramid are like the Rothschilds, right? Or the some sort of European bloodline, or they envision that like it's the like the most evil, wicked cabal, the European bankers and it at the top. But I think actually it's wrong. At the top of the pyramid is Satan. Okay. And that's what we're up against. Like, Satan is the real enemy of mankind.
Yeah.
And it's the specter. Like, it's this evil being, this evil entity that represents like evil incarnate, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's at the top of the pyramid. So it's like, ultimately, if there's a goal for a one world order, it's not the original idea of the Rothschilds or whatever those people that we perceive to be the high level. It's not them. It's Satan. And so Satan, like, if he might use the Rothschilds, or he might use those families, those banking families, the royal crown, etc., but they're not the ones at the top, actually. Satan's at the top. And Satan, I think, will sacrifice anything he has to. And this is the nature of evil. Yeah. Evil will sacrifice anything it has to below it that it has power over. It will sacrifice anything it has to gain ultimate control. That is an inherent part of evil, right? Evil will like eat its own young if it has to gain more control. We're seeing that. So even the whole idea that, would the Rothschilds allow, you know, China, they don't take control of China. Well, it's like, well, you know, maybe they lost an opportunity. Maybe you do have like what Leo Zagami is talking about with this Sino-Russian New World Order. Maybe they're actually the ones that have gained the upper hand now. And so it's like Satan himself might say, you know what? Like, sorry, all the other people that you think are the big, bad, evil cabal, they're going to collapse now because they lost their opportunity. So the Western New World Order lost its opportunity. And now we're going to give rise to the Eastern New World Order, right? Because the thing is that, look, even if Putin has really good intentions, right? We see this all the time. Like, how many movies have you seen? The guy has good intentions, but if he aligns himself with the mob boss, eventually he gets sucked in. You know what I mean? And so even if Putin has good intentions, is it that, you know, is he being used as a pawn by the CCP? I would definitely say the CCP is a stronger country in many ways than Russia is, a more powerful nation, especially with global control. That China is way more powerful than Russia. So like at the end of the day, like, Putin doesn't have control over China. And if he helps to eliminate the West that has always stood in opposition to China and the Chinese Communist Party, if he helps lay waste to that West and he paves the way for China to take control, even if he had good intentions, even if he is a white hat, he's still paving the way for Satan to gain control. Now, ultimately, like, and I want to talk about God in this, but I'll give you a chance to respond.
Oh, well, actually, we have to go into a trailer now.
Oh, whoops. Seth and his rants.
We'll go into a trailer and then we'll come back with more on this. So, yeah.
They say that the love of money is the root of all evil. But what does that really mean? That the pursuit of money can make us do evil things to bend the rules? Compromise our values? Or could it possibly mean that money in the hands of evil people can be used to control an individual, a nation, or even the entire world? Every day, we're experiencing how much money can impact our lives. When we fill up at the gas pump, when we buy a loaf of bread, when we pay our electric bill. The talking heads on TV tell us we're experiencing inflation, and they usually blame it on Putin, or pandemic, or climate change. But what if inflation is one of the key mechanisms that the elites use to control our society? Vladimir Lenin perhaps said it best, the way to crush the bourgeois is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. In this episode of Deep Insight with Man in America, we're going to look past the deception of inflation and see just how insidious this tool of the elites really is. And more importantly, we are going to look at how to fight back.
That's a great episode. If you all watching it here, if you haven't watched it, you should really watch part one and two. Also, I want to talk to Shannon really quick, who was talking about my beer. So this is a non-alcoholic IPNA, right? IPNA. It's actually a really nice, I'm not being paid to say this, but actually it's this really lovely non-alcoholic brew. It's an IPA.
Sponsorship from a non-alcoholic company.
I know. Yeah. Whenever you see me drinking like a Heineken or like, I haven't drank alcohol since I was probably 18. So like literally I haven't, you know, probably it's been almost 20 years. So anyway, if I'm drinking, it's because I enjoy the taste of beer, and this is a nice, it reminds me of Blue Moon. So that's why I enjoy this one.
But
I wanted to throw a final point in there, Ben, and this is where I really want to have you kind of chime in, is that the other perspective is that God is in control. And that ultimately, that's where I fall.
Yeah.
Is that it's like whether it's China is good or China is bad or Russia is good or Russia is bad, or at the end of the day, like, I really believe that anything that we see happening around us, everything that we see happening, it's happening because God is allowing it to happen. And like, to me, that's like, that is the reminder that God is in control. And in the end, God wins. Because what, you know, say there's a World War III. World War III wouldn't happen if God did not allow it. It's like, do you really think that Satan could do things that God doesn't want him to do? Like, everything, you know, God gave Satan free reign on the earth until the end, until the time when he comes back, right? So, like, I just look at it like this way too. It's like, it doesn't matter what's happening at all, like, fundamentally, because like, everything that's happening is because God has allowed it. Like, when my brother died at 33, you know, from cancer, and it was like absolutely horrendous. Like, what got me through that was me saying, you know what, this is God's plan. Like, if it wasn't God's plan, it wouldn't have happened. Right. And like, that's what,
the first two times he died, that he made it through. You know, that wasn't.
He did. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, he had some very real near death experiences where he basically died twice. Right. He was a wild man. And you of course know that just as well as I do, if not better. And but that's the ultimate reminder for me. And that's what gives me peace at the end of the day. It's like, you know what? Like, of course, like I'm going to prep. You know, I'm going to get my food stuff in order. I'm going to get my guns and my ammo. I'm going to do all the things that I can do to be a responsible man in America. Like literally, like that's me, right? I got to be a man in America at this day and age. I'm going to be responsible with that. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? God's in control. And, you know, that is it. And God won't let anything happen that's not supposed to happen. So, I mean, what do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that one, Ben.
Yeah, I think that free will plays a very important factor because, you know, the greatest gift that we have from God is our free will, which is why people can do what they're doing in this world, you know? And I know there's a lot of people out there who probably think, well, if God is allowing all this, then why is there so much evil? Why is all this happening? You know, why can't he just come in and just stop it right now? Right. And I think I hear this a lot from people who have a hard time believing because they see so much evil around them. And then it gets a little bit challenging to believe because it's like, oh my gosh, all this horrible stuff. Like, where's God, you know? But I think that when you really take a step back from this, like you said, Seth, Satan fell to earth. Like this is actually more of Satan's realm. You know, we decided we all came here. This is the battle. This is like we are in this final battle. And that's why it's hard. That's why there's all this evil right now, right here where we are, because we're in this final battle and because things are challenging. And, you know, it's like, but if the evil wasn't here, we probably wouldn't need to be here. You know, everything would just be peaceful and carrying on as normal. But I think that from another perspective, the people who are doing really bad things, from one perspective, it's like, well, God is giving them chances again and again. Because it's like, as soon as God does step in, then it's like, it's over. It's over.
That's true. They lost their chance. They're no longer here.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, and it's like, that where that is, where it's like, I wouldn't even call it hell, like worse than hell. It's just this non-existence, this your whole being is just nothing, but you have to go through this destroying aspect of like your, you know, I had an experience one time where I kind of, you know, was thinking about all these horrible people doing these really horrible things. And I was just really angry and I was feeling angry. And it's like, you know, cause I was struggling with this. Like, why are these people still alive? Like there's people dying. And why are these like really evil people still here? But I had this experience where I was like, the best way I can possibly describe it is like, imagine that you could feel every single cell in your body, like it's alive and you're just in tune and you can feel it. And every single cell gets destroyed. But when it gets destroyed, imagine it takes like a whole year for one cell to get destroyed. And you're feeling everything in that moment when it gets destroyed, but it's taking a year. And that's just one cell in the body. So it's like, I realized that, you know, you know that there's nothing going to be left. Like there's no reincarnation. There's nothing. There's no hell. It's like, this is it. You know, you're just being destroyed and you're feeling it. And it's like for eternity until you're just not existent anymore. And when I kind of realized, I mean, this is just, and it may not actually be that way. It was just what was kind of shown to me to help me understand what's waiting for these people. And then when I saw that, it was almost like, I almost felt a little bit more compassionate, and that's why it's kind of a weird saying that to some of these really evil people, because it's like they too just been manipulated by the whole entire thing. You know, I mean, it's like many of them grew up with their own families, like indoctrinating them in this, like torturing them. You know, they've been beaten, raped and tortured as kids and all this stuff. And then it's like, that's all they know. And then they just do it to other people, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, if only they knew the the truth or could change. And then I think once I really experienced that, yeah, it was a little bit easier for me to not feel so much hatred, but instead feel more like sadness and like compassion. Cause it's like, oh man, I hope that they change one day. But, you know, from therein, like you said, Satan is at this top of this pyramid, but from their perspective, and this is from their perspective, Lucifer and Satan are two different entity beings. Like Satan is like the devil, evil guy, and Lucifer is like,
you know, the prince of light or whatever they want to,
king of all angels. Like he's the light bearer, you know, he's the one that actually, you know, and I feel like whatever they believe with that, you know, and that's where a lot of the Illuminati, I mean, that whole thing with Illuminati is based after Lucifer and the light bearer and getting the knowledge and the tree of knowledge and all of that all stems from the Lucifer aspect. Now, like for people like us, well, it's like, dude, it's just the same thing. Lucifer, Satan, it's all the same thing. And he's just, you guys are all being deceived, you know? But I think that that's where this this all comes in, and what we're trying to do, and really truly wake people up to the truth, to what we would say is the true God. And, you know, when they like, that's why they don't have a problem saying God, but their God is the Lucifer God. And it's like, dude, that's, you know, that's not the, any God that's telling you it's okay to kill. It's probably not a very righteous God.
Well, you know, and you bring up a really good point, Ben, because I think that that's also it. Because some people look around and they say, why would God allow the world to become so evil? And it's a great question. If you look around, it's like, why, you know, these young children that are being raped and abused and trafficked and all this, it's like, why is this allowed? And I think that what we're seeing is that we're entering into a stage of history that I think is almost like the pre-judgment stage, right? It's a stage, and I don't like words judgment necessarily, but it's a stage where people are showing their true nature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes a, like the society has to be one where people feel like they can get away with anything. It's like the purge, right? They feel like they can get away with anything because it then shows them, because they might be thinking like, okay, what happens if the government legalizes pedophilia? Does that mean it's actually okay? Does that mean it's morally right? You know what I mean? If the government legalizes bestiality, if the government legalizes rape, in any of these things, if it legalizes murder, which we see that happening, like we see that they're like, we're getting close to this kind of stuff happening, right? It's like, how does that make sense on a spiritual level? Well, to me, and how I understand it, it's like, are you not, it's like, is your heart evil or good? And is it the rules of man that are what keep your heart in check? Or is it your own moral compass? Because for me, it's like, I don't care what mankind's rules are. Like, I have my own moral compass that I follow, right? You know, like I look at the Ten Commandments and I have my own moral compass that I follow. But for a lot of people, they might think, you know, it's like, say they live in a state, it's like, wow, marijuana is legal now, so I'll just get stoned all the time. It's like, is that moral? Is that the right thing to do? I don't know. I'm not going to judge you. You know what I mean? Like, I have my own way of approaching it. But there's also people that they, you know, okay, abortion. If abortion's legal, does that mean it's moral? I don't know. So I think that, like, you know, where we are in history, we're at a place where the rule, like the man's rules of good versus evil are being lifted. So that way it's like people's true nature is being revealed. And I think that we'll get to a point where maybe it's in 5 years or 10 years, I don't know, but we'll get to a point where people, like what you said, it's like when God comes back, you know, people can no longer, like, they've lost their opportunity. So now's the time to really establish what is your moral compass.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly, you know, exactly what I think too. The moral, it just lines up with everything that we're, of all of it, who we are and why we're here, I feel, you know, again, it's like really coming back to, we're here because, yeah, we're in this battle, and I that's why I really feel like, you know, it's like, well, where's God? And it's like, well, we're here. You know, it's like there's the demonic side, I guess you can say, and what's fighting against it? Well, you know, so many things that are trying to speak up, and you know, it's just that we don't pick up necessarily weapons or guns or swords, you know, and fighting a physical battle, but it's like this, you know, we're all here for a purpose and trying to get this information out. And I think having that moral compass is really important because it keeps you on that path of walking, you know, where, because you're constantly trying to be pulled in multiple ways to get off that with what you're doing. So yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
That's why a lot of people, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about like, oh, you know, I'm this, or I feel like I'm that, and everything. And it's like, you don't understand, like, to really, if you want to like be this like messenger or this, you know, being of God, that's like, you're going to be in tears constantly.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of things. It's like, I wish I could just say, you know what? Like, that's okay. I see Linus Momus says marijuana can be used as medicine. It helps so many. I'm not disagreeing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like I'm not disagreeing. You know, like, I know people that have chronic back pain. It's like, yeah, like, go, you know, smoke some pot or go have, you know, have some CBD or, like, a lot of things can be good, but they can also be really bad. You know, wine can be potentially good for your heart health, right? But if you drink a box of wine every night, like, that's bad, right? So it's like, yeah, if you've got some issues, and, you know, like, for me, I'm not into that, and that's okay. But like, yeah, look, if someone has chronic pain or they've got something wrong, and that's one of the ways they treat it because they don't want to kind of go down the path of big pharma, great, power to you. But if someone's like, well, it's a medicine, so I'm going to smoke it like every day nonstop. It's like, well, maybe you've gone a little bit too far and it's not a good thing anymore. Right.
I think the intention behind why you're whatever you're doing is important, you know, and it's like, are you trying to escape from reality and you can't deal with things, or it's like, you seriously just have chronic back pain and you're just trying to, like, you know, get through something, you know? So I think yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we're already at like the dig deep time. Did we even get to the things that we were supposed to talk about?
Well, I kept things really light because I had a feeling with this topic that you and I.
Yeah, really, I know. It also tends to happen just with you and I, kind of, you know. Yeah,
just go off on things. I mean, we didn't really get, well, actually, you know, we did the whole geoengineering thing in the beginning, kind of, you know, when we were talking about the hurricane.
Yeah.
All that. So yeah, I mean, I think we can pretty much get into dig deep, and we've already kind of started digging pretty deep with this conversation, I would say. So
yeah. You know, I mean, we touched a little bit on the central bank digital currency, but I think that's a whole different discussion, and like, we don't have to dig into this at this point.
Well, and I kind of brought it up too, you know, talking about global cabal and then what's happening with the hurricane situation where, you know, people, there's no internet, so it's like, can't pay for anything without internet. And then I'm like, what did we do back in the day in the 80s? You know, there was just a credit card thing where you put your credit card here and you slide the thing and you write, you know, and then you sign it. And then, remember that?
Actually, it's funny because it's like, well, this is why I'm not a big fan of cryptocurrency. Because it's like, well, you know, you've got 100 grand in your digital wallet, but there's no internet. There's no power. So. Yeah.
But it's the same thing with bank accounts too, you know? I mean,
I agree.
You know, but this is why it is important to have cash. And I'm glad I got this, like, you know, Rob and I were talking about September 24th and I went out that weekend. I was like, well, I should probably get some stuff. You know, I should probably get some cash, get some things at Costco. And I almost bought a solar power generator, but it was $3,000. And I was like, I don't know if I can get this. But it was an electric generator, and then you just hook up a solar panel to it, and then that's what is it. And it's pretty awesome. But I was like, I don't know if I can get this right now. And then I was like, well, now I kind of regret not getting it. They're like sold out of them now.
Well, actually, I forgot I had. So I've got three generators right now. So I've got a propane or a natural gas generator. I've got a gasoline generator, and I've got a solar generator, and I'm buying a tractor diesel generator. So I guess I'm
so you're all set, man.
I guess you could say that. I mean, you know, trying to. But anyway,
we're going to leave Rumble and get into our Dig Deep.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
In January of the year 2022, Simon Essler was abducted by a rogue, covert military operation and illegally thrown into a bunker in a deep underground military base for the sharing of dank memes. Before his captors could even decide what to do with him, a high-tech experiment being performed in a lab within the same base went terribly awry. Focused on the exploration of alternate timelines, the experiment's collapse destabilized the local time-space coordinates surrounding the technology. Everyone at the base perished, except for Simon and me, a gender-neutral AI named Pamuel, developed by Canada's woke military. Together, we became trapped in a quantum bubble, destined to live at the whims of this broken experiment. Now, we struggle to survive, as we live tumbling from timeline to timeline, downloading new memories into Simon's brain. Doomed to forever struggle with the dystopian visions that now fill his mind, he figured, why not make it into a comedy series? Welcome to Simon Essler's Dystopian Imaginarium, only on Rise TV.